I want to again greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Joshua, were you able to upload? Okay, very good. I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You might be able to follow along a bit. I have told the gentleman back there in the sound room to see if they could load 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 18 in the NLT. That's what we're going to use this morning. So it's not going to quite make jibe with the King James, but it is up here, and hopefully we can follow along. How many of you realize that going to church and flying in an airplane have a lot of similarities? Children, 12 years old and younger, how many of you have ever flown in an airplane? I see a few hands. I want to tell you a story this morning. This one comes from Max Locato. Max was walking onto an airplane, and as he walked into the airplane, he had already seated himself. There was a young boy. We're going to say he was probably, I'm just going to guess, probably 8 or 9. We're going to call him Jimmy. Jimmy was walking into the airplane too, and as he walked into the airplane, he made the comment. He said, "Do you think I can see the pilot?" The pilot was right inside the cockpit, so he took the opportunity, stepped out of the cockpit, and he said, "Who's calling for me?" And right away, Jimmy puts his hand up. The pilot said, "You can come in." He looked at his mom, and his mom nodded, and Jimmy went into the cockpit with the pilot. About 5 minutes later, Jimmy came out of that cockpit. His face was all aglow, all lit up. He had a little set of wings. He was excited because he met the pilot. He came out and he was so excited, he said, "I want to fly on this plane." About that time, Max started looking around at the different people sitting there. They were coming in, they were being seated. Little Jimmy was all excited. He grabbed his mom's hand, they went to sit down. As he looked around, he looked over and there was somebody sitting over here on the side. They were bored. "Let's get this thing over with. I got a destination to reach. 11:30. I got a destination to reach." Isn't that sometimes how it is for us? We come to church, we get a destination. It's kind of boring. He looked over to the side. Here comes five ladies. They had their beach bags with them. It looked like mothers. Mothers that were probably released from their husbands and their children for a weekend. And they were excited because they were going on a trip to get away. He looked over to the other side and there was a man sitting with his laptop, looking at his laptop, and he had a scowl on his face because things weren't going well. Then he saw over here to the side, he saw Jimmy. All excited. "I get to fly on this airplane because I met the pilot. I love this airplane." All of a sudden, Max started getting excited. If Jimmy's excited, I'm going to be excited. He knows something I don't know. He met the pilot. I didn't meet that pilot, but Jimmy did. I titled my message this morning, "Reflections of Joy." You can take that for what it's worth, this story I shared. There was one I missed. Sitting beside him was a man that as soon as he got on that airplane, guess what he did? Sleep. Sometimes we come to church to sleep. Let's go to this scripture in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Maybe it'd help if I would turn to it, wouldn't it? Follow along as we read up here if you can. And I'm going to read the whole chapter because there's some background that I'd like to catch here to kind of know where we're at. We're not going to really use those first few verses, but let's read them anyhow. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 1. "Are we beginning to praise ourselves again? Are we like others who need to bring you letters of recommendation or ask you to write such letters on their behalf?" Paul here had been talking to the Corinthian people. He was talking about forgiveness. He begins talking about the new covenant. We're going to look at the new covenant for a bit this morning. The new and the old, make some comparisons. Verse 2, the only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. We are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. He has enabled us to be ministers of His new covenant. This is a covenant not written of laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. Verse 7. The old way, the laws etched in stone, led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face. For his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which had been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened. And to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. As I was reading through that this week, I guess I was just excited when I saw what the old covenant did and what the new covenant did, is doing, is happening in our lives. The old covenant was something that showed them their condemnation. It did not take care of their sins. Actually, they had to come and continue to sacrifice. We have a sacrifice that was made for us that takes care of all of this. We have the new covenant. The new covenant talks about loving God, loving man. That does not remove the Ten Commandments. If we follow the law, or the new covenant that He's given us to love God and to love people, there's not a single one of the Ten Commandments that doesn't fall under that. We love God, we love people. Let's go down to verse 7. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on the rest of this here other than verse 7. We want to keep going from there. Verse 7 says, but yet there was a glory that temporarily came with this law. It was a glory that shone on the face of Moses. Moses met Jesus on the mount. He went up to get the law, the Ten Commandments, and he met Jesus in Exodus 33. I'm just going to read a few verses there. Moses told God, I said he met Jesus, he met God. Moses said to God, he said, show me, I pray thee, thy glory. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and will proclaim the name of Jehovah before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now this is what God said. He says, thou canst not see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And Jehovah said, behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon the rock. God told him, he said, there's a rock over here, Moses. I want you to go over and I want you to stand on this rock. And then he said, as I pass by, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. There's a little spot in the rock. I'm going to put you in a little don't know, was it a hollowed out spot or what it was, a little cleft. He said, Moses, you get into that spot, and as I pass by, I'm going to put my hand over the front of that so you cannot see me. He could not behold all of His glory. So as God passed by, He put His hand on, and after He had passed by, He took His hand off, and Moses was able to see the back part of God. And when Moses came off of the mountain, there was such a glory that came from His face that the people couldn't stand looking at Him. Actually, they took a... could use my handkerchief, I guess. They took a cloth or some kind of a covering and to put it over His face because there was such a glow, such a brightness. The old law brought condemnation. The new law brings us hope. And eternal hope. Let's look at verse 12. Verse 12 tells us here, I'm sorry, my Bible moved to a different. Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. Let me ask you this morning in your walk with Christ, do you have a confidence in your life, in your heart, that you know you're walking with the Savior? We call this assurance. We call it assurance of salvation. Do you have that assurance within you that you know my walk is lining up with His walk, and should He return, I will go with Him? Do you have that assurance? Let's talk about that assurance for just a bit. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. This is going to be, I believe, in the King James. I'm not sure. It might be, I think it's the King James here. But you can follow along. Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to go to verse 14. Hebrews 4:14. And then while you're in Hebrews, don't leave that book. We're also going to go to Hebrews 10 in a little bit. Hebrews 4:14 says this, having then a great high priest who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. I believe it says profession there in the King James maybe. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. We all come to times of need. We all come to a place. I had to think about our church family the last couple of weeks. There's been death. We have needs amongst us. He tells us here to draw near. And I like to picture that as Jesus just reaching out saying, come on. Come to me. I will be merciful. I'm gracious. Come to me in your time of need. Turn to Hebrews 10 verse 9. We have an assurance. Hebrews 10 verse 9 says this, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way which He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, His crucifixion, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with a heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. I talked about faithfulness the other Sunday night. God is faithful. He cannot lie. What He says is the way it's going to be. Verse 24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. The next couple you don't have to turn to. I'll just read them. 1 John 5:13. I have written these things to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I have written these things to you, those of you who believe. Those of you who believe. There's a security there. There's an assurance. 1 John 2, verse 4 and 5. He who says, I have known Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly in this one, the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. Right away when we see verse 4 there, it says, I have known Him. He who says, I have known him, does not keep his commandments. That kind of throws us off balance real quick, doesn't it? Keeping his commandments. We know we can't keep all his commandments, it seems like we think, don't we? And it's true. We mess up. From time to time, we fail. Some of the commandments that he gives us, we mess up on. So does that mean right away we're cut off, we're gone? Let's look at the word keep. He says here, I have known him. He who says, I have known him and does not keep. What's the word keep here? The word keep here is a word that's used by the sailors of their time. They would look at the stars for their direction. They would find where to go according to the stars. It was called keeping the stars. So when they would look at this star, they would set their course, and for days they would travel that direction. They're headed in the right direction. What happens when a fog comes in? The stars disappear, but yet they're headed in that same direction. Maybe they're going to get off course just a little bit, and I'm not teaching you that we can sin and go off course. Don't understand me that way. But maybe because of the fog that came in, the troubles and trials, maybe their ship has veered just a bit. But when it clears up, the star is still there. They're keeping their course. I believe what he's telling us here, as we have our course set towards Jesus Christ, we have accepted Him as our Savior. He is within us. His Holy Spirit is within us. Sometimes we face issues. We face troubles and trials. We want to give up. Let's be honest. We want to give up sometimes because it's not making us feel good. But when we have our course set, we aren't going to give up. We're going to continue our fight. When everything clears, we're still keeping our course. We haven't really veered. We haven't walked away. He who says, I have known him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. This is where it all comes down. When we're not headed the direction that Scripture teaches us, we profess to be a Christian, but our direction is a different direction than what God wants us to go. Then we do not know him. That's pretty clear. We keep the stars. John 8:36 says this, therefore if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If you have been made free, there is an assurance in that. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Have I found this freedom? Seems like many times we like to just kind of dance along the edge of really, truly being free. For the very fact that we just can't give up what we want. But it's not in what we're willing to give up or how pious we can seem to those around us. That's not the answer either. Yeah, there are things that we give up. But what we give up, we gain way beyond what we give up. When we can consider the deaths that we've had in our church and amongst our church family the last while. Jerry was how old? 91? I think I asked you that last week, didn't I? Anyhow, if we consider Jerry, he lived 91 years, a long time. Would we ask Jerry today, Jerry, would it be worth veering and going the other direction? He would say, absolutely not. Our life is so short, it doesn't pay. What we need to lay aside, what we need to give up is nothing compared to eternity. It's nothing compared to what our Savior did for us. Let's look at three witnesses that show that we are walking in Him. 1 John 5:5, this is the eternal work of the Savior. 1 John 5:5 says, who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by the water and blood. This is our eternal work of the Savior. What he did lasts for all of eternity. It cleanses us. It purifies us. The next one we have is the internal witness of the Spirit. This is he who came through water and blood, the same verse, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is he who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. We have the Spirit within us. It is our witness. The Spirit is truth. The truth will make us free. That's our internal witness. Then we have the external Word of Scripture. 1 John 5:10 and 12. Actually 10 through 13, I believe. He who believes on the Son of God has a witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he does not believe the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God has given to us everlasting life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I have written the Word. I have written these things to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Jesus Christ died. He came by water and blood. The Holy Spirit of God says, yes, this is true. It is all attested by the Word of God. Three witnesses we have here that we know we can have full assurance of walking with Him. Now we're going to go back again to the Scripture we were at before, 2 Corinthians 3. I'd like to look at three verses yet at the end of our chapter here. We were talking about the veil, that was over the face of Moses because of the brightness, the reflection of God. I can't imagine what it was like for the people when Moses came off of the mount. Now I have to think about Moses. Yeah, he was a man just like you and I are, us men. He was willing to allow God to use him. But the reflection that was seen on his face because he was with Jesus, the little boy that went into the cockpit to be with the pilot, the joy that was on his face when he came out because he met the pilot. Let's go to these last three verses. Verse 16. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. I'm going to ask a question this morning to each one of us, and I'm asking this question to myself too. Where's this veil this morning? Is this veil still over my heart to where I cannot understand the Word of God? Or has the veil been removed? Is there an openness between me and the Father? Is there a reflection in my life because I know the Father? I talked a little bit about coming to church, about what our purpose is about coming to church. And as I looked at all of this, I had to think about the past. As a young boy, I loved to go to church because after church, we're going to go play. Is there a time as I get older that I don't come to church to play after church, but I play during church? I hope you understand what I'm saying here. When our heart is not real, when our heart isn't turned towards the Father, I'm not just looking at you, I'm looking at myself. We come to church and we sit on the pew and we don't get anything because we're playing church. Because we haven't yet had that heart change. I've talked a lot about that heart change the last while. Matthew 22, there was a lawyer that came to Jesus. He said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. He said, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. to love. When I think about love, I think about this whole realm of Jesus. God with His Son Jesus. He loved Him so dearly, yet He sent Him for you and I. That was love. Then Jesus coming down, being willing to lay His life down for us. That was love. And then when He went back to heaven again, He left the Holy Spirit for us. That was love. Now I ask you as people, as Christians that want to reflect Jesus to those around us, are we reflecting love? Are we reflecting Jesus? There's some verses in 1 Corinthians 14 I want to read real quick here. And we have some visitors with us here this morning. We could ask them some questions after the service. We're not going to do this, but we're glad all the visitors are here this morning. But this scripture is talking to us about speaking in tongues, about prophesying. And there's something I want us to catch in this scripture. 1 Corinthians 14, I didn't intend for you to turn there, but I'm going to wait if you'd like to. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23. I'll wait for just a bit for you to turn there. First Corinthians 14, verse 23 says this, "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad?" Please understand this, visitors this morning, I'm not pointing at you as being unbelievers. We're not going there this morning. "Will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth." This is a question I want to ask this morning. As we have friends and family and visitors coming into our midst, can they feel that the Spirit is here? Can they sense that? Have you ever been to another church and visited another church where you just sensed there was something here? I guess I challenge us this morning. Are you preparing for Sunday? What are you doing for Sunday morning? I know our walk shouldn't be any different the rest of the week than it is for Sunday. But let me ask you what happens on a Saturday night in your home. No, I don't have scripture that tells us Saturday night you need to do this, this, this. I'm not going there. But I want to ask you the question this morning. Are you preparing your hearts throughout the week for Sunday worship? Sunday worship is important because it's a corporate worship. We worship by ourselves and with our families throughout the week. But am I preparing my heart for corporate worship? Am I coming to the Lord on my knees? Maybe it's even Sunday morning or Saturday night. And am I asking God, would you send your Spirit to us again Sunday morning to be right there amongst us that we can feel it? Psalm 40 verse 3 says this, "And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust the Lord." Is that what people sense when they come in amongst us? God is here. His Holy Spirit is here. Is that what we desire? Huh? I hope it is. I hope that's what we desire, but it's not going to happen unless we fall before the Lord. And we allow Him to clean us up on the inside, and we come here in praise and worship. That's how it's going to happen, friends. It's not going to happen because I showed up dressed just perfect. That's not going to do the trick. But what really makes the Holy Spirit happen is when we walk with Him every day. And when we prepare for worship, we come into the presence of the Father. I know this is just a building. It's just a building. But we're the church. All believers are the church. When we show up and our hearts are true and we are walking in the Spirit, things begin happening. And I challenge us this morning. How are we walking? How are we preparing? Jimmy went in to see the pilot. When Jimmy came out of that cockpit, he had a smile on his face. There was a reflection there of what he just experienced. Jimmy came out, and on his face there was a glow, and he had a little set of wings. Let me challenge you with this. Are you going to leave church service this morning with a glow on your face and possibly a little set of wings as you've met the Father? Let's stand this morning for prayer. I'm going to ask you this morning to bow your heads. I don't know where you're at with the Lord, but I'm going to ask you this morning if there's something in your heart that you're sensing. I'm going to pray, and I ask you to take that to the Lord during that time. And if there's something that you need to confess, that you need to make right with God, share it with a brother or sister after the service. Let's pray. God, this morning we thank you so much for giving your life, your Son, to give his life for us. Love. How we bless you for that. I just pray that you would help all of us here, Father, this morning to love. That's a reflection of you, Father. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to shine so bright that those around us can see, wow, something's happening there. Lord, we bless you. We honor you this morning. You are God. There is none beside you. We love you and we worship you. Lord, I just pray that you would bless the food that's been prepared here today. We thank you so much for that too. Dismiss us now with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.